Welcome to the Grace Community Church Sermons Podcast. Each week we share the sermon from this last week's service. We hope this sermon encourages and equips you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. Let's listen in now.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you all that had a part in the service so far today. Really appreciate that. Don't worry, mental note, check Elena's caffeine level before I give her the mic next time. You know, I love it because it just shows you when God brings people to serve with the youth, that kind of energy is needed. And I know I might look really young, but I'm not that young anymore. Young at heart, young at mind, but I'm just excited to be here. I want to say thank you to RJ and the rest of the team that helped out last week when I wasn't here. Heather and I got a chance to go to a couples retreat for pastors. It was great. It was great on many levels. It's great that I have kids that I can trust them to watch, hold down the fort till Grandma Sandra can arrive, and my parents were out of town as well. But it's great that the church went on, didn't it? And this just a reminder, even though I tell you this all the time, it's not what I do. It's not what any of us do. It's what God does in us. And I thank RJ for his preaching last week. Got to catch a little bit of it. Got to go back and catch the rest of it because I've been told by a number of people, RJ can preach. So that's a good thing. It's great to have. And Dale has filled in for me in the past and several others. And it's just a wonderful thing to be at a house of the Lord today. So thank you for the energy, Elena. I appreciate that. It gets us in the right frame of mind. Well, today I'm going to be starting a new series, just kind of a real quick recap. This is the teacher in me. I just always go back. Where did we come from? How did we get here? So we were finishing up the book of Acts, our first part of the book of Acts. I preached on Acts chapter 7. A couple weeks ago. And then the follow-up to that was our fall ministry kickoff that we did 2 weeks ago. And that was just really the hope from that was to challenge you that coming out of Acts chapter 7, just reminding you the world we live in, and boy, we live in a crazy world at times. But the world we live in is not what we're striving to emulate. We're trying to live boldly for Jesus. And that was my hope 2 weeks ago, was to challenge you in this fall season as school year kicks off, as the seasons are changing, what are you thinking or what are you praying that God would do in your life to change you? You know, it's a constant transformation. I've been following Jesus for 40 years, which is wild to think about. And I still got a ways to go. You know, if you don't believe that, just spend some time when I'm driving in traffic and that'll come out. That's where sometimes that energy comes out. But I'm just excited today. I came across an idea for this series idea that's going to be kind of the framework that I develop over the next 5 weeks. I looked at a source called Open Life Church. If you're not familiar with them, big church down south. Craig Rochelle is a pastor there. What's really cool about what they do is they give away and they share everything. If you've used the YouVersion Bible app, it's because of them. They have an idea for that. And so I came across this idea and I thought, what could I share to kind of launch us, something practical that would help us in these next few weeks? And that's really where the framework of this series goes. And the title of this series is Life's Short, Live Weird. Okay, stick with me. Life's short, live weird. I came across this idea and really it really helped me launch out of Acts chapter 7, where Stephen was living weird, according to the world. So weird that he was killed, martyred for what he was saying. And maybe the weirdest part of how he lived were his last few words. When he looked up to God and he saw, this had to be amazing, right? Looking up to heaven and seeing Jesus waiting for you. But he said, you know, basically echoed the words of Jesus, you know, don't hold this against them, forgive them. And that's very powerful. That's living weird in today's world, isn't it? It's very much so. So how are we going to do this? Really, my main thesis idea is living bold for the sake of the gospel is both simple in idea, but incredibly, incredibly difficult in practice. And that's where the idea, life's short, live weird, came from. And we see this in our life, right? Whenever we look around, we see life happening. We see brokenness. We see things that are out of sorts. We see people struggling. And when we see people try to live like Jesus this world oftentimes rejects them. When they speak truth, when they speak truth with love, they're caught up in the middle of this. And this isn't an accident. Jesus taught about living life in such a way that you would stick out. He mentioned being salt and light in the world. And what's incredibly amazing about salt and light is you can't miss them. They stand out. When light goes into darkness, it looks incredibly contrastly different. When you think about food without salt, I know that might be sacrilegious to some, but food without salt doesn't always taste as good. But salt also, which is interesting, is a preservative. And so Jesus is telling followers to go and live like salt and light. God's way is unique, isn't it? When we live God's way, the world will consider you weird. Just chew on that for a minute. When you live like Jesus calls us to live, the world's going to call you weird. Now, I'm not talking about, for all of those Christmas Vacation fans, Cousin Eddie type of weird. All those that are probably my age or older get that. Younger kids, maybe not. But that family member that just kind of always sticks out, just weird. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about weird in a good way, maybe weird in a God way. And here's my idea for today. My challenge, and as we live weird for Jesus, that I want to be radically on fire for Him, concerned and having compassion for the souls of those people that are in my life. Now, not just those we like and know, but souls. I'm talking about the souls of individuals that if they don't know Jesus, we know what happens. Concerned for that, but also bold for the sake of the gospel. Not bold and necessarily an in-your-face yelling at people, bold in a way to not back down when we have the opportunity. And so as we venture into this series, and even today, I just ask you to simply open your ears, open your eyes, and open your heart to what God may have for you today. Because life's short, right? We know this world is quick, but we know that eternity is forever. So life's short, live weird, live radically on fire for Jesus, concerned for the souls of those we come in contact with, and bold for His gospel. But before we jump in any further, let me pray for our time. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, open our hearts today. Open our souls, open our mind to You, what You have for us. God, remove the stumbling blocks in our way and my way. God, let the words I speak not be mine but Yours, and let they be received well. Let the Holy Spirit be live and well in this place as we know it is, drawing us closer to You, giving us humility and discernment to hear Your voice, to seek its truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So today what I want to do is I want to just kind of lay the framework, the groundwork for this. And the title of the message is The Road Less Traveled. We don't have to look very far in this world, like I've said, to see brokenness. You see people that are overwhelmed, rushed, empty, bank accounts just as empty, in debt up to their eyeballs or beyond, relational tension, medical issues. There's a lot of overwhelmed and brokenness in this world. Yes, even divorce and other things that are right in front of us. Studies, in fact, show us that young people, those 25 and younger, are some of the most highly diagnosed with anxiety, depression, and any myriad of other mental illnesses, the things that they are struggling with. And also, one of the things that just popped out as I was reading a few of these surveys was that the number one thing identified from these was finding purpose. In other words, they felt like they had a lack of purpose. Why is that? You know, I was always raised that, boy, my parents always hoped that I had a better life than they did, right? Whatever that was, I would pursue, you know, I would have a good job, I would have a family and all those things. And it's so far, it's looking like that's a possibility, that that's not going to be the case with the next couple generations. Now, this can be turned around, and it's not really about those worldly pursuits. Because the worldly pursuits show us that that's what the world calls normal. And that's what the world is selling us. World normal equals bad things that we previously mentioned, such as anxiety, depression, worry, high divorce rate, indebtedness. I mean, we have a country that is just out of control financially in debt. And it's no wonder that the rest of the citizens in that country ascribe to that method, right? We know that that's not God's plan, but that's what happens sometimes. And this just reminded me, if we keep selling the same normal, we keep selling that this is the pursuit, but yet it gives us negative after negative after negative. I kept thinking of the guy named Dr. Phil. Anyone heard of Dr. Phil? Dr. Phil would, again, this is aging myself, I realize that. He would have some of the family stories that would come on, and you would just watch it and go, there's no way that's really happening. And then he would get to the end and he would ask them the famous question, so how's that working for you? Right? So if you're struggling, you're pursuing the things of the world, how's that working for you? Well, here's my statement for today, that if you want what normal people have, then do what normal people do. In other words, if you want to receive what the world is putting out, do what the world is telling you to do. But I have a second statement, that if you want what few people have, do what few people do. What is your target today? Because I believe that if you don't have a target, you'll never hit it. But then otherwise, you'll wander around, and we need to have a target. And I think God's word has the target that we need to see. So as we consider this idea of the road less traveled, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 7. Just two quick verses there if you want to follow along, 13 and 14. But before I get there, I want to just share a graphic that I think should be up there, and this idea of a broken world. This graphic is from a tool called Three Circles. I've shared this with you before about sharing the gospel with people. And the idea that, listen, on the left side of things is kind of the world as God created it, and the right side of things is the world as man has messed it up. Sin, we've run from God, we've run from His ways, we've gone into brokenness. And the problem is that once you're in brokenness, in and of yourself, you can't get out of that. And that's what these little squiggly lines show us, that when you're struggling, our default reaction, listen, my default reaction is to try to do something about it. I need to fix this. I need to do this. I need to. And when it comes to sin, the problem is you can't fix your sin problem. No matter what you try, that's what those bungee cords are. Have you ever seen one of those bungee games where the kids try to run as far as they can? Eventually, they get snapped right back, right? This idea that if you, no matter how hard you try, relationships, alcohol, drugs, sex, you name it, anything that you try to change or try to do, maybe it's being good. Maybe you're just trying to be so good that you're going to get out of the brokenness. The problem is that you can't. Well, Jesus had something to say about this. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, it says this, and these are probably common verses if you've been in the church for a while. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. Verse 14, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Now, I also have the NLT. Just want to just put that up there because this says it a little different way that I think helps us wrap our mind around it even more. Verse 13 again, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gates. The highway to hell is broad and its gate is wide, for many choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. See, Jesus is teaching in that famous Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5 through 7 there, and he's talking about kind of, this is his manifesto, if you will. This is what he says we should be doing, or the goals anyhow. And he's saying, listen, to come to the kingdom, you can only come through the narrow gate. Well, who's the narrow gate? Well, the narrow gate is Jesus. The only way to get to the kingdom, to become a child of God, to become saved, to become a follower of Jesus, is through Jesus and what he did. And that's why I say it's simple. It's a simple idea. But what does the verses tell us? That is hard to do. In fact, many choose the wrong path, separation from God, regardless of how many times people ask them, how's that working for you? That's our nature. Now Jesus goes on to say some even more radical things, some more weird things. He says things like, don't commit adultery, which isn't new, but he says even goes beyond that. If you have lust in your mind for somebody else, you are committing adultery. He says things like, the first will be last and the last will be first. He's trying to usher in this kingdom service mentality. He says, if you try to save your life, if you try to do it, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you will find it. He says, love your enemy. Turn the other cheek. He says, forgive. Peter asks him how many times. 70 times 7, and that's kind of an interesting study if you ever want to dive into that a little bit. But essentially, he's saying you've got to do it completely and totally, 100% forgive. And if you want to see an example of what true forgiveness is, maybe you've seen it, the last memorial service with Charlie Kirk, and I don't want to spend a lot of time there, but his wife got up there less than 2 weeks after someone had killed her husband, and she said, "I forgive him. Not because I necessarily do, but because Christ did on the cross." Forgiving other people, even when they don't deserve it, that, my friends, is weird in this world. So how do we do this, though? How do we do this? Well, I want to give you two ideas, very simple. They're in the bulletin. Number one is don't think like normal people think. And number two, don't live like normal people live. I know, really creative, right, Pastor? Really simple. But I think we need to start with thinking. We need to understand in these verses from Romans chapter 12 that we read today that it's really about a transforming of our mind, body, and soul. And it starts when we need to transform the way we think. And so as we read these verses again in Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 1, he says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and a holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is true, is truly the way to worship him." Verse 2, the first part says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world. Catch that? Don't do that. Don't be normal. Do what few people do, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Did you catch that? Who's changing you? God, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know what I've found so many times is this noggin up here, although I'm not very intelligent, it can talk me into and out of many, many things in life. It can even convince me that things are necessarily going a certain way, because the devil is working through the way we think, and we must come back to this idea of transforming the way we think. We must be striving for the way of Jesus. Just a little word on worship here. I love this word. So many times we think of worship, and we had good worship so far today, right? And I hope so. But worship isn't just the music we sing. In fact, what does God's word tells us? It's by how we live our life. A theologian said this. I have a quote to share with you. I just saw this recently. The source of most of the problems people have in their Christian lives relates to two things. Either they're not worshiping 6 days a week with their life, or they're not worshiping 1 day a week with the assembly of the saints. Did you catch that? We need both. If you're counting on me in 30-ish minutes once a week to give you everything you need to know to grow spiritually, you're going to be missing it. The only thing that can really change you is spending time in God's word, praying. I'm so glad Elena mentioned that earlier. Prayer is so many times forgotten or just poo-pooed or pushed away because it's like, well, I'll pray if that's the last thing I can do. No! If you've got a real problem, pray. Go to the Lord. Who's the only one who can fix it anyways? Not you, but God. So we go to him in prayer. And so we view this idea as that we're living life as a sacrifice, as a worship of God. Does that mean if I'm working at McDonald's, flipping burgers, doing it to the best of my ability? Amen. Work to the best of your ability wherever you're at. Live in such a way that others will ask you, why are you being that way? Boom, there's the door. Does that mean the people that you maybe cut you off in the road, you don't salute the wrong way? You know what I mean. You wave and say, it's okay, no problem, and you say a quick prayer for them. Or maybe you say a prayer for your soul because of what you just were thinking. But living life, being, you know, God works. God has been kicking my butt the last few weeks. There's been things happening in and around me and in ministry that I just sit back and go, it is not me. He's working. He's changing lives. He's bringing people into our paths that I would have never crossed with otherwise. There's people, more people in church. Thank you, visitors. We love you so much. This is so good. God is at work. So when we come Sunday, give him all the glory. But then on Monday morning, be ready to go to work, living for him. If you want what few people have, you must do what few people do. Don't copy the ways of this world. The second half of Romans 12, 2, verse B says this, says, then you will know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing. Because see, it's in that sacrifice, it's in that surrender, it's in those moments when our hearts and our minds are open to take the steps that God is asking us to take. I can remember clear as day when I first felt the inclination that maybe God was asking me to be a pastor. I told him no. That's too hard. It's too difficult. Thankful so much for other godly men and women in my life and a spouse that loves me and supports me and usually corrects the path I'm going on and gets me going in the right direction. But God was working to change my life and he led me here. And I believe that there's people here today that same thing is happening. It might not be to call you into a ministry. It might not be to call you into something else. But God's speaking in your life right now. Don't think like normal people think. See, weird teaches us to think differently about how we live, time, values, relationships, and sex, matters, what matters most to you. Not being normal, but weird in a God way. Let's talk about time for just a minute. How do you spend your time? The two biggest indicators we can see outwardly of how someone's spiritual walk is going is how they spend their time and how they spend their money. How do you spend your time? I've been moved in the last couple months by some big time leaders that I've been drawn to a little bit in reading about how they are successful. And I was surprised, but not surprised, that they were ones that took regular Sabbath. So they took time off. They didn't work 7 days a week. They worked 6 days a week and they took time. It's amazing how you can actually accomplish more by doing less. Sabbath is important. Priorities speak to us. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, talks to you basically like everything is possible, but not everything is permissible. Everything is permissible, excuse me, but not everything is beneficial. Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do something. Because if you're saying yes to everything, you're not really saying yes to anything. And this is hard for us. This is hard for this pastor. I want to serve. I want to do more. I feel like, okay, God brought this in front of me. I've got to do it. That's not always the case. The benefit of weird is pursuing Jesus. How about money? I won't spend a lot of time here, but just some basic principles. We have a financial crisis in this country, really, that some astronomical high percentage of people live paycheck to paycheck, and if one thing happens, it would throw them into ruins. And I'm not criticizing, I'm not pointing fingers at anyone because I've been there before, but are we living with God's money well? Are we using it for how he's given to us to use? Excuse me. Are we giving to other charitable causes? Are we setting those things aside? Are we living the way he would have us to live? Are we living with a generous mindset where we think that God owns a cattle on 1,000 hills and there's more than enough? Or are we living with a scarcity mindset where we're scared? Sometimes, if I'm honest, I live scarcity a little bit sometimes because I see the bank accounts, I see numbers and all of that, but I know that I trust God. At the end of the day, that's where I end up, is that I don't have this, but he does. How we do with relationships, specifically with marriage, we are to live differently. God's word is clear in Genesis chapter 2, marriage is man and woman, and that's a covenant for the rest of their life. Now, I realize that sometimes things, the world is broken, so it's never perfect, okay? So I'm not throwing stones at anybody. I'm just saying that that is what our striving is. What is marriage supposed to do? It's supposed to do two things. It's supposed to subdue or to have dominion over, or maybe a better way of saying that is steward. Or how are we stewarding our relationships? How are we stewarding what God has given us? The other one is what I was really good at, be fruitful and multiply. I got that one taken care of, 6 kids. But in all seriousness, like, that gives a framework. That's God's framework, right? And I think the issue that we have in this world is that we so often want to change God's framework to match the world's framework. We don't do it on purpose a lot of the times. We just want to love people, right? And I'm telling you, yes, love people. Love God first, though. We've got to love God first, and we've got to speak that truth. In love, of course, but we've got to be there. How about values? Worldview is so important. How we view the world is so, so important. This is becoming even more and more obvious today as we have a group of young people that are, you know, some going away to college, just being connected to TikTok and all those other things, and they're getting their mind changed, their worldview changed. How we look at the world and who we believe is in charge of it is important. It's important. See, the bottom line is there's only two worldviews. You either accept God's view of it or you reject it. It affects how we look at things. Are we looking at things through the lens of Scripture, or are we trying to look at Scripture through the lens of the world? The road less traveled. Let God begin to transform your mind. Don't think like normal people think. Second, don't live like normal people live. The more I pursue Christ, the weirder I feel. I feel like I stand out more. I do. I mean, maybe it's because I'm a pastor and a lot of people know that, so they look at me differently anyhow. Maybe it's just the way I look, who knows? But I feel like the more I'm in this game following Jesus, the more I see the brokenness in the world. And so what's important is how we respond to that. God calls us to go into the world. The more I pursue Christ, the weirder I become. In 1 Peter chapter 2, we got a couple verses here starting at verse 11. Peter's writing this. It says, "Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners," underline that if you've got a physical Bible, "to keep away from the worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then, even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world." Notice in verse 12, it doesn't say they'll give honor to you now, right? So we realize this is a difficult thing. Following Jesus Christ in today's world is weird. This is no different, by the way. We've been reading Acts, right? We're getting to the point in the book of Acts where there's persecution everywhere. I mean, Paul gets in fights in every city he goes to because he's speaking the truth. And I say that kind of flippantly, but he's getting in. So it's not a surprise. It's nothing new under the sun. Sometimes we get lulled into a false sense of security in this world because we live in a country that honestly is the best country in the world. I mean, it's got so many problems, so many problems, but there's nowhere else in the world I would choose to go live. And sometimes that comfort lulls us into a false sense of security. When we're thinking about living like weird people live and don't live like normal lives, we need to think of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul talks about that we're in a spiritual battle. Yes, we see the worldly. Yes, we see the things going on around us, but everything is boiling down to the spiritual battle behind the scenes. And so finally, he says in verse 10, "Be strong in the Lord and mighty in his power." Where's our source? The Lord. He's our power. And all these things he goes on to list the rest of the chapter, sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, all these things, these are weapons we have to fight that spiritual battle in Jesus Christ. Back to 1 Peter there, in verse 12, it tells us to live like Jesus Christ. Live what you are called to live. Don't copy the rest of the world. And another caveat to that is don't try to copy somebody else's weird. Some of the best advice I got when I started as pastor was don't try to copy Dan. Dan was Dan and he was amazing. You're not Dan, but you're Gary and you're called by God to be pastor. End of story. So you be you. And so sometimes I'm a little weird, not quite as wild as Elena, but I all of us have aspirations. But I'm me, right? And I hope that when you see me, no matter where you see me, I'm the same person trying to live like God has called me to live. So don't copy other people. Be who God has called you to be, where God has called you to be. Be a follower of Jesus. Live your weird for him in your sphere of influence. I love this word, the Greek word oikos. This talks about like a family unit. I've seen this in different evangelistic trainings, but the basic idea is you have a sphere of influence. You have people you live with probably, you have people you work with, you have other close family, and nobody has a relationship to those people like you do. You're uniquely placed in a position to take the gospel of Jesus Christ where you go and where you go. And that's really the challenge. Maybe here's some ideas we can think about as we consider living for the gospel in our sphere of influence. Maybe when it comes to finances, maybe God's speaking to you and saying, we actually make more than we should or than we need. So maybe we're going to live less and give more. Maybe we are filling up our time too much. This is a big one for me, right? Because I feel like I have to fill in all of my days. I feel like I have to do that, and then usually I crash and I take a whole day off and watch football and baseball like I did yesterday, but that's another story. But you get busy, right? Maybe you're too busy. Maybe there's something in your life that's not a bad thing, but it's not the best thing. Maybe God needs you to freeze up some time to serve in a certain capacity. Here's a big one for all of us, myself included. Maybe we need to watch less TV, less scrolling, and turn off the devices. Have you ever realized how much time you spend on TV and on devices? If you've never looked at your screen time on Apple phones or there's similar features on the Android phones, you might be shocked. Hours a day. Maybe that's just me. I look around the room and people are kind of like turning their heads away, so it's probably not just me. It's a struggle, right? Maybe we're watching too much TV. Maybe we're desk scrolling. How about if when we wake up in the morning, and trust me, I'm preaching to myself here, put the phone down or turn on the Bible app and start reading the Bible right away. Wouldn't it be, how would your day be different if you started out reading God's word and praying instead of listening to Fox News or CNN or any of that, right? Maybe that's what's God's pressing in on you. Music. Music, can I tell you, music is powerful. Music is powerful. It stirs emotions. It connects with people's souls. What are the lyrics of the songs that you listen to? Looking right back at me. Have you ever looked at them? It's just something to think about. Some of the most popular people on Spotify and everywhere else today in the world, man, if you've read their lyrics, don't tell me those are accidents. So many times it's the devil working through that music. I'm not telling you which ones, you just need to discern for yourself. Young people, if your parents need to help you discern that, please let them. Relationships. Living like other people don't live. Don't live like normal people, live weird. Relationships. Sex and physical stuff before marriage. You know, I don't want to harp on anything, I don't want to call anybody out, and I don't have anybody's name in mind, by the way. I'm not thinking of anybody specifically. God's just telling me to say this. His rules for marriage are different. His rules for relationship are different. And there's a reason for that. It's because that's the best way. That's the way he's created it. And that's the best for everybody. Maybe right now you're wondering, you know, maybe it's an issue of you have two incomes in the family and it says leave your job and stay home with the kids. Or maybe it's the other way. Maybe it's that time where life has changed and you need to go back and serve in a ministry or go back to work. I don't know what it is, but I'm challenging you to ask God to open your mind and your heart today. Because if you want what few people have, you've got to do what few people do and take that road less traveled. So let me return where I started. Life's short. Live weird. If you want what few people have, do what few people do and take that road less traveled. Not the world's normal, but rather one that's radically on fire for Jesus, concerned for the souls of others, and bold for the sake of the gospel. But let me just encourage you again, the pursuit is not easy. Back to Matthew chapter 7, verse 14. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the what? The road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. Trust me, following Jesus is against your sin nature. There's a reason why Jesus had to die on the cross, because you couldn't fix the issues in your life, the sin problems, and come back to God. But here's the amazing thing, that no matter how badly you've screwed it up, no matter how badly it's fallen off the rails, the cross of Jesus is still enough. Come back to him, surrender in his life. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus. You've not taken that step. John 14:6 tells us what Jesus says. Jesus says this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, period. Come to Jesus today. As the worship team comes and leads us, I just want you to know that as we're singing that song, if God's asking or telling you something today, I would strongly encourage you to come forward. Maybe you need prayer. Maybe you need some guidance. Maybe you just need to tell somebody. Maybe there's a change you need to make and you want to tell a trusted person. I encourage you to come forward and do that.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's message. If you want further information about Grace Community Church, you can visit us at gccofalliance.org. Also note, the video for this message, for this sermon, is linked in the details below. Have a great day.